I want to welcome everybody at the Deerfoot campus and the Southwest campus and all of our online viewers who make up our online campus. Thank you for being with us and sharing in this journey that we've been calling Transformed. We've been looking at our spiritual health and our physical health, our mental health, and today I want us to look at emotional health. How do you deal with what you feel? Last weekend, I was talking about managing our minds. And today, we want to look into the scriptures, into our Bible, and figure out what God's telling us about how we manage our emotions. Jesus says this, Mark chapter 12, if you want to read the word straight out of your Bible with me, Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Great verse to remember, to try and memorize. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And with all your strength. Those words should be on the screen. Why don't you say them with me? See if we can try and learn it quite easily. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I wonder if you can recognize that there's actually emotion in those words of Jesus. He isn't telling us or inviting us to kind of love God, sort of date him now and again when it's convenient to us. He's actually inviting us to love God passionately with everything we've got, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, to love God with all of me. God actually wants to have an emotional relationship with us. He doesn't simply want head knowledge, and that matters. He doesn't only want that. He actually wants this heartfelt, emotional relationship with all of us. So I want to give us a little bit of insight into emotions before we dig into what Jesus is telling us. Maybe we could start here by recognizing God has emotions. God actually has emotions. Sometimes people don't think about that, but God has feelings too. He's an emotional God. He feels joy. He feels grief. He feels sadness and pain. And the reason we have emotions is because we're made in God's image. If God wasn't an emotional God, you wouldn't have emotions in your own life. And that means that our ability to feel is a gift from God. I know that emotions might not always seem that way to you. But even the negative emotions we sometimes feel have a role to play in our lives. Emotions are an asset. They make us human. If you don't have any, you're a robot. Maybe some of you are. It's this emotional ability that allows us to love and create, be loyal and kind and faithful and generous and kind. All of these emotions that come out of our heart. One of the most astounding things that we need to wrap our heads around comes right at the very beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God says this, let us make mankind or humankind in our image, our likeness. God made us to be like him. Now, there's a couple of extremes I think we could do with avoiding. One's called emotionalism, the other, stoicism. Emotionalism simply means that all that matters is how I feel at any given moment of time. It's the extreme that says, on one side of life, all that truly matters is how I feel. And if I feel great, life's great. And if I don't feel great, something's gone terribly wrong. Doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter exactly what's happening. It just matters how I feel. It makes all the difference in my life. If it feels good, I should do it. My emotions control my life and dominate. Stoicism goes way over to the other side and says, my emotions don't matter at all. What really matters is what I know to be real, what I know in my head. I can figure this out all by myself. Feelings just get in the way. My intellect, my will, my decisions, my thoughts, that's what really matters. And it's funny, really, or maybe not, because Stoics often marry emotional people, and emotional people often marry Stoics. One person's a stuffer, the other's a gusher. Stuffers marry gushers. Stuffers get frustrated with these gushers because they're so emotional. And the gushers get really worked up at these stuffers that they hang out with because they're so uptight and they've stuffed everything inside and they daren't express themselves. We think they're not being authentic. two extremes. The happy medium is probably somewhere in the middle, but what would I know? There are actually church families that are built around these contrasting ways of thinking about emotions. You probably know some followers of Jesus that fit into one camp or the other. There are people who think, doesn't really matter how you feel, the only thing that matters is truth. And you got a big Bible, the bigger the Bible, the better. And that's where we get, all that matters is truth and the Word of God. You don't need emotions, even though God gave them to us for a reason. God wants you to worship with their emotions. He wants you to feel it when you're in His presence, when you sense Him talking to you. He wants you to know what's going on in your heart. But there are other church families. Other followers of Jesus would say, emotions are the only thing that really matters. When we show up to gather together and worship, we're hoping for emotion. We want this ocean of emotions swilling all around us, a little quiver in the liver, something tingling up your spine. If you've been enraptured by worship, you know it's the real deal. And if you haven't, nothing happened. And instead of seeking God, we seek emotional experiences. And it becomes a bit of an idol. You can make your mind an idol, you could make your doctrine and theology an idol, or you could make your emotions and experiences an idol instead of God. Does that make some sense to us? That our minds and our emotions both matter? One of the things I love about reading in Scripture, right in the middle, it's always easy to find, are the book of Psalms. And God gave us those Psalms to help us understand our emotions. If you spend some time in there, you'll see a whole range of emotions. And if emotions are troubling you, it's a great place to begin your reading. The book of Psalms has all sorts of things going on in it. Positive emotions, as well as the negative emotions that we sometimes struggle with. They're all there. You can read some of them, some of the very difficult ones, and think, why on earth is this in the Bible? It's there to teach us. To teach us about our negative emotions, about our fears and angers and complaints. They're there for a reason. It's not all praise and thanksgiving. There are psalms of anger. There are psalms of complaining. There are psalms of lament. There are psalms of sorrow. There are psalms when you see somebody or read about them arguing with God. All of our emotions are there because our emotions are very legitimate. We're going to look today at how we deal with how we feel. And I'm pretty sure not everybody, certainly not me, is very good at that. We're not always that great at managing our emotions, but we can be, because it can lead to peace of mind, it could lead to success in relationships and a whole lot of other things. So I want us to look at God's Word to figure out, why do I need to manage my emotions? And then learn a little about how we could take some steps towards that. Here's why we need to learn how to deal with what we feel. Because our feelings are often unreliable. They're often unreliable. They can lead you in the wrong direction. How many times have you ever thought to yourself, I know exactly what I need to do right now, and then it was a disaster? Or you just feel it in your gut and it didn't work out. We've all been there. We've been very convinced about something we feel, and yet we were wrong. Our intuition was flawed. Our emotions led us down a blind alley towards something that wasn't helping at all. You can't really depend upon what you feel. Last weekend, we were thinking about the fact that just because we think something doesn't mean that it's real. Just because it's in my mind doesn't make it real. And I think we need to learn this too, that we don't need to accept everything we feel. Just because I feel it doesn't make it true, doesn't mean that it has a bearing on reality. Not everything you feel is authentic. Not everything you feel corresponds to reality. Some things you feel about yourself are flat out wrong. Some of the things you feel about other people or even about God are wrong. We need to learn how to manage our emotions. In the book of Proverbs, we read these words. There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Our emotions are not infallible guides. Just because we feel it doesn't make it right. They're often wrong. They often lead us in the wrong way. We need to manage those emotions, because we don't want to be manipulated. You see, if you don't control your emotional life, it will begin to control you. If you don't actually control your emotions, They'll start controlling you. You'll be manipulated by your mood. You'll be guided by what you feel is right or wrong instead of by what truly is going on. Advertising, sales, is based around that. We all know that. There are commercials we see, the people we talk to, they're learning how to stir up our emotions because if we engage with what's available to us emotionally, we're more likely to buy it. Color of packaging, the music that surrounds it, the way people approach us, elicits an emotional response and allows us to engage better. And if you continually make decisions about what you purchase based on your emotions, we call it impulse buying. We buy stuff we neither need nor want, but we had an emotion at that point in time. Anybody been there? I'm not looking to check hands. The Bible also says this in Proverbs, like a city whose walls are broken through is the person who lacks self-control. When we have no check in our feelings, no governor, no limitation, no moderator or manager on our feelings, the Bible tells us we're like this city with no defenses. We're defenseless against the manipulation of other people. We're defenseless against manipulation by our own sinful desires. We were talking about that last weekend. Our sinful desires can easily put us in a mood, and all of a sudden we don't do what we want to do or we know that is right to do or what we should be doing because we're being manipulated by the bad mood we find ourselves in. One of Satan's favorite tools in our lives is to pop negative emotions towards us. To stir up negative emotions, using fear to whip us around, using resentment and jealousy to rattle you and make you angry, using bitterness or worry and anxiety to take you down the wrong path, using shame to beat you up to remind you nobody would need to want you if they only knew. And if we don't know how to manage our emotions, we find ourselves in this very helpless state with our own sinful desires or with the evil one chasing after us. If you don't want to be manipulated, then we need to somehow discover the skill at managing our emotions. Jesus' friend Peter says this in 1 Peter, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And if we don't figure out how to control our emotions, he'll have us for lunch. Perhaps most of all, I need to manage my emotions because I want to please God. And God can't be God in my life when my emotions are God of my life. God can't rule my life if my emotions are ruling my life. Jesus can't be Lord of my life if my emotions are the Lord of my life. If all my decisions are made simply about how I feel, then in a sense I have elevated my feelings to God-like status. And when I do that, God can't be God. Romans chapter 8, we've been thinking about these verses for quite some time. Paul writes to his friends in the church in Rome and he says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You can't please God if your emotions are running your life and running chaos with your life. I'd rather do what I feel than what God says. I want to manage emotions. Because my feelings are unreliable, because I don't want to be manipulated, because I want to please God. But how do I do that? How do you actually do that? How can you manage your emotions? How can you deal with an unwieldy or an unwanted emotion in your life? Is that even possible? Well, here's some steps I think that are possible for us. The first one is this, to simply name it. Name it. What does that mean? It means that I really need to identify how I feel, to get specific about how I feel, to pinpoint what's going on in my life. You can't really manage a vague feeling that you don't know what it is. You can only change and control something that you've actually identified, you know what's going on. And if you don't know what the problem is in your life, it's pretty hard to begin the journey of working it out. Most of us are not as in touch with our feelings as we think we are. We all think we're in touch with our emotions, and perhaps you are, but most of us are not. We can still be quite emotional people, but not really be in touch with the emotions in our lives. I'm often confused about emotions, confused about how I feel. I can't easily define it. I don't know if you're with me in that, but it's really hard to think, why am I in a bad mood? What's going on here? I know I feel something, but I don't know what it is. But if you can't name it, you can't change it. Here's a couple of questions that I'm learning to ask. Here's the first one. What am I really feeling? And what I mean by that is the scratching beneath the surface, beyond what's the immediate thing. Because what we sometimes think we're feeling is not really the real deal that's going on at all. Sometimes I think, I'm a little down today. Maybe I'm feeling a bit depressed. Maybe I'm a bit anxious. I'm not sure what's going on. And I think the problem is somewhere there. But that might not actually be the issue at all. We need to ask, what's making me feel this way? What makes me feel sad? Maybe it's because somebody criticized me at work and I didn't really like that. Maybe it's because somebody gave me a nasty email. Maybe because my performance evaluation didn't go so well. Looking at something and beginning to figure it out. Maybe I lost my job. There's a whole lot of reasons that go below the surface when we try to figure out, what do I really feel? Another question we can ask ourselves is, what are my triggers? What triggered this event in my life? We probably all have things that would trigger emotions in our lives. They really relate to our senses in some ways. It could be a sight. You just go to somewhere, you see something, and it brings up all sorts of emotions for you. It can bring up pleasant memories, and suddenly you feel happier and in love because you're in an important place. Or you feel sad or terrified because something happened there, and it all comes flooding back when you see that thing again. Sometimes it could be a simple smell. You smell something that makes you feel warm and comfortable because the pancakes are cooking, or you smell something that makes you afraid and terrified. A trigger could be something you hear, somebody's voice. Somebody's voice from the past. Somebody's voice that mimics another voice that sets you off. Touch. Sometimes it could be that. You revert back to your childhood all of a sudden, and all these memories are coming in that become confusing and difficult emotions to handle. What triggered this? I can't tame it until I name it. I can't solve a problem that I can't identify. We start by naming the emotion we're feeling as best we can. And then we challenge it. We challenge what we're feeling. I don't just have to accept the way I feel. I certainly don't have to assume that it's accurate the way I feel, what's going on in life. I don't have to assume that what I feel is the truth about what other people are thinking or doing, what my life is really all about. I can change that. Are things really as bad as I think they are some days? Probably not. Are things going so spectacularly well as I think some days? Not really. And so we need to ask ourselves some questions to challenge it. David, who wrote many of the Psalms that deal with emotions in our Bible, he often asked God to change his emotions, to change his heart. And that's pretty smart, since God understands us better than we understand ourselves. God knows what you're feeling, even if you don't fully know what you're feeling. God knows what triggered the situation, even if you're finding it hard to identify what that's all about. And if you simply say, God, I've no idea what I'm feeling. I don't know where this came from. I don't know what to do about it. I know I need your help. That's a great prayer. David asked God to evaluate his feelings so that God could help him. Here's an example, Psalm 26, verse 2. He says, test me. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and mind. I don't know what's going on. I need you to help me. We can ask God to evaluate what we're feeling. Sometimes you could ask a friend to do that for you. Have you ever given anybody permission in your life to challenge you? To challenge the way you feel? Do you actually say, no, you're out to lunch? Have you ever given anybody that sort of permission? Have you ever given anybody the permission to say to you, are you really sure you know what you're talking about? Are you really sure what's going on right now? A true friend is somebody you could give permission to say that to you. Are you sure about this? Somebody that could ask you hard questions and you wouldn't get mad at them or blame them for making it worse? Do you have a friend like that? That would ask you because they love you and care? There's all sorts of questions people could ask us. There's all sorts of questions we could ask ourselves. We're angry, we're upset, we're irritated about something, frustrated. You could ask yourself, what's the real reason I feel like this? Just like I was saying, maybe I'm afraid of something. Maybe I'm just really tired. Maybe I'm worried. Maybe it's something that somebody said to me years ago. And it's come back through the voice of another person. Maybe your friend said something to you and it reminds you of the way your dad treated you. It's not your friend you're angry with, it's your parent. What's the real reason I'm feeling this? Here's another question. Is this true? Is this actually true? There's a great story in the Bible I love. I love the stories of the prophet Elijah because he's just like all over the map, which kind of suits me nicely because that would be me. And I love some of these stories, but there's one time he's all crying and upset. He's run away. He's discouraged. He starts complaining to God and he's going, God, I'm the only person left. Nobody cares. Nobody understands a thing. Nobody loves you. There's just me. Poor me. Nobody in the whole wide world gets what I'm going through. And God says to him, more or less, are you kidding me? There's all these other people everywhere. He gives them names of people, tells them where they are. Why are you acting like this? You're pretending you're the only person that's having a hard time? The only person in the whole wide world that really knows? What's the real reason I feel this way? Actually, in Elijah's case, he was tired. He was tired and he's starving and he's upset. Was it true? Yes, it was true. He was hungry and upset. But was he all alone? No, that wasn't true. Here's another question. Does what I feel help me or hinder me? Does what I feel help me or hurt me? Sometimes the simplest way to gauge an emotion or to begin to change it is to ask, is what I'm feeling actually going to get me any further down the road or is it going to leave me stuck here? What's this feeling actually doing for me? A lot of the feelings we have, we think are natural, but they're actually self-defeating. Here's an example. This has happened to me 1,000 times. You go and sit in a restaurant, and the service is slow. I mean, it's beyond slow. You're looking at your watch thinking, can I get things to do and places to be? How hard could this be? You're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. And you know there were those people who came in after you. You were sitting there. You saw them come in, take off their coats. They ordered long after you ordered, and now they're eating their burger and fries. And it's just infuriating. What's the real reason you feel those emotions? You're hungry? Yes. You're a little tight for time? Yes. You're frustrated because the service is slow? Absolutely. Will yelling at the server do any good? No. It won't get you anywhere continuing with those emotions. Are your emotions getting you where you want to go? That's managing them. We name them. Here's what I'm really feeling, as best I know. Here's what I'm really feeling. And here's the trigger. Here's what set it off. And then we challenge it. What's this reason behind everything? Is it true? Is this helping me or hurting me to stay in this emotional state? Here's the next thing we could do. We tame it or change it. We change an emotion when we have an unwanted emotion. It's best we can anyway. We change it. Sometimes you just need to change what you're feeling. Some of our emotions are so destructive, so damaging, so hurting, so hurtful. The only thing we can do is change it. Somehow we got to change what we feel. Paul writes to his friends in Philippians. We've been reading this verse a lot too. And he says this to them in Philippians chapter 2. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Our attitudes, our relationships include our emotions, what we're feeling. How would Jesus feel at this situation? Would he be frustrated at the waiter and start yelling at him? No. Would Jesus be fearful? Would he be worried? What would Jesus be doing here? And the bottom line is that we begin to learn how to dismiss feelings that don't make me more like Jesus. We choose to dismiss feelings that are not making me more like Jesus. Our attitude should be the same as Jesus. Jesus wouldn't be prideful. Jesus wouldn't be envious. Jesus wouldn't be bitter. Jesus wouldn't be enraged. I need to let go of some of these things. Sometimes we actually need to channel what we're feeling. Not simply change it, but channel it. Sometimes you can take a negative emotion that's going on and channel it for something else, that it can be used for good. Maybe you've been the victim of injustice in your own life. You've experienced prejudice or racial profiling. You've experienced unfairness in your classroom. You've been discriminated against because of your gender or your ethnicity. Something unfair has happened in your life, and that emotion has begun to build up, and it's caused anger in your life. That's a fair emotion. That's a legitimate response. But will being angry with people get you what you want? Probably not. But could that sense of anger and injustice you feel help other people? Absolutely so. And all of a sudden, you could actually become a champion for justice in your school, in your workplace, where you live. Because what you have experienced, you know others have, and you can do something about that. We take this negative emotion that could be anger, and we begin to use it not just for ourselves, that could be a selfish anger, we use it to benefit others. And somehow we're using it in a righteous way to make a difference in our world. Anger isn't sin. The Bible tells us, be angry but don't sin. It's what you do with your anger that makes a difference. If somebody was hurting my wife or kids, I'd be angry. Because anger evidences love. If you never get angry about anything at all, you're probably apathetic. But if you love someone and someone hurt them, you'd get angry. It's a natural thing to do. God's like that. He gets angry. The only reason we can experience anger is because God does too. He gets angry at evil. He gets angry when women are mistreated or abused. He gets angry when children are molested. He gets angry when people are misused. But you can take a negative emotion and do something positive with it. What pain in your life could you use for good? Maybe you've been in pain for so long, you don't want to even think about that question right now. But we need to learn to manage those emotions. We name it, we challenge it, and then we tame it by challenging it to something else. We can use all sorts of stuff, even negative stuff, for good. God could use it in your life for good. Our greatest ministry could come out of our deepest pain. Your greatest impact in life could come out of your deepest pain. That's hard to imagine, but it's very much true. So we change it, or we channel it for good. What about those things, though, that just seem wild, like out of control emotions? We kind of feel, I'm a worrier, I can't stop worrying. This is nice for you to say this, but I just can't stop doing that. I worry, worry, worry. Or I'm a perfectionist. I try really hard not to do it. I try not to have those feelings toward other people. I try not to do it to myself, but I can't stop it. I just criticize and nag and pick at people. Or I'm lazy. I just can't help being lazy. It's hard to get going in the day. Or I'm afraid, or I'm angry, or whatever. How do you tame a wild emotion? Well, it's certainly not by willpower, because most of us have tried willpower and it doesn't work. In fact, God tells us about that. He says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. We can't change how we feel by willpower. I can't force it to change. It doesn't work that way. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by God's Holy Spirit. How does that happen? How does the Holy Spirit start changing emotions that are hurting me or hurting the people I love or hurting the people around me? How does he do that? I think it could start by asking every day for the Holy Spirit to fill your life. Like every single day. Ask for God's Holy Spirit to fill your life. What did Paul write to his friends in Galatians 5 when he listed the fruit of the Spirit? He says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Can you imagine God filling your life like that every day? You see, self-control comes from God control. The more I let God take charge of my life, my mind, my emotions, my choices, what I'm up to, the more self-control I actually discover too. I don't need to become a religious nut in the process. You just become self-controlled when we allow the Holy Spirit access to our lives so He can control us too. Then we're under pressure at work. We're under pressure with our finances, we're under pressure out of work, we're under pressure at home or at school. And what happens when we get under pressure? Whatever's in the inside begins to come out. And sometimes we start to worry. We get anxious, we have doubts and fears, we feel lonely, we're afraid, we're discouraged, we get jealous about other people, we start to feel bitter or gossiping about what's going on. But when you're filled with the Spirit, and all that same stuff still happens to you, what comes out? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You take your toothpaste tube and you squeeze it hard. Don't do it when you go home. You just mess your counter up and then there'll be another argument. But you're not going to get peanut butter to come out of your toothpaste tube no matter how hard you try, because only what's in comes out. And that's just what happens in our lives. What's inside comes out when we're under pressure. And if I'm filled with myself, just about anything could make me angry. And if I'm filled with God's Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will start to come out of my life. I could ask God every day to help me manage my mouth and my words. Proverbs 13 verse 3 says this, "Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, and those who speak rashly will come to ruin." There's a whole chapter in the Bible, in the book of James, James chapter 3, that's given over to talking about controlling our words and thinking about it. All sorts of illustrations in there. A rider on the horse, what? A quarter of the horse's weight, maybe a way less than that. And yet you can control the horse because the bit's in the horse's mouth. And where the mouth is going, the horse is going. Or the mouth or tongue is like the rudder of a big ship. The tiny rudder directing the ship in the right direction. That's what our tongue is, what our words are. What you say is end up where you're going to go. And none of us are truly going to experience all that God wants us to experience until we fully learn to begin talking the way God would have us to talk. So maybe we could pray every day, "Lord, would you help me to manage my words today, to manage what I say, to figure this out?" There's one more thought. Could make God's word my word. I could make God's word my word. Put the words of Scripture into my heart, into my mind. You could memorize some words of Scripture. You can use an app in your phone for that, or write yourself a little flashcard. You could underline verses in your Bible. You could choose to read your Bible every day slowly. You could listen to it in your car or on your phone. We could get the word of God into us, that we feed ourselves every day, and then his word becomes my word, and we see amazing things happen. Psalm 119 is a beautiful poem about Scripture, and it says this in verse 11, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." See the connection between your heart and your mouth? What's inside your heart? It starts coming out of your mouth. Jesus says, it's not what goes in, what you eat, that makes you unclean, as though the best conversation about shellfish and bacon. He says it's what comes out of your heart and what comes out of your mouth that makes you unclean. My heart is revealed in my words. My heart is revealed in my words. And here's what I think. I think some of us today need to have a conversation with God that sounds a little like this. God, I need a heart transplant. I've got a bitter heart. I have a worried heart. I have an anxious heart. I have a jealous heart. I have a fearful heart. I have an impatient heart. I've got an angry heart. God, I need a heart transplant today. When you say that to God, when you invite him to fill you with his Spirit, he'll give you that new heart. He'll change you. And when you get a new heart, you get new words. And when you get new words, you have a transformed life. I wonder today, could you name one emotion in your life that troubles you? Maybe you're just fine, and that's great. But maybe you have an emotion right now that troubles you, whether you're in the room or you're watching online. Could be fear. Could be jealousy. Could be anger. Could be disappointment with yourself, with another person, with God. Could be any of those things. I wonder if you could name that silently. You don't need to tell anybody. You go, this is my struggle right now, and I know it. I'm going to invite you to pray with me in a moment, that we could pray for wisdom to challenge that emotion. I don't have to give in to this. I don't have to live this way. God has got so much more for me. And then we pray for his Spirit to come, to fill us, to tame it, to change it, to transform my life for now and for eternity. Would you pray with me, please? Father, the honest truth is we struggle with a lot of stuff. Yeah, we have good days, but we have bad ones too. And we come out to church or to some other gathering, and we smile and we chat. But inside we hurt. We're not always sure why we hurt. And so tonight we're praying, would you help us to name whatever's wrong well? Would you give us divine insight and wisdom that we could learn why we feel the way we do? And Lord, we're praying tonight that we could challenge this emotion. That we could begin to say, this doesn't have to be my reality. This isn't true. But we need you to do that. And most of all, we need you if anything's ever going to change, because we've tried hard enough on our own for so long. And so tonight we're simply praying, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you come right now and fill us with your Holy Spirit? Till all of the junk gets cleared out and we discover love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Would you fill me with your Holy Spirit right now? I need a heart transplant. God, I'm just being honest here. I got nowhere else to go but you. And so I'm reaching out in the name of Jesus and saying, would you help me? Would you transform me? I pray in his name. Amen.